So Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, and we'll start reading at the verse 1. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marvelled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which they bound with them, that had made insurrection with them, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto them, unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And I trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this evening once again. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We can sing praises unto thy great name. We thank you, Lord, and as well with my soul. We thank you, Lord, that we have a great high priest who has sat down at the right hand of God and who has fulfilled all that he came to do. He has accomplished all that needs to be done for the sinner to be saved. And we thank you, Lord, those who call upon thy name, they can say, "It is well with my soul." Lord, we thank you that you have paved the way for men to get to God. We thank you, Lord, that you have stood in the place of sinners. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt comfort us even with that thought. Think of how Christ has stood in our place. Condemned he stood. And Lord, we pray that you will draw sinners unto thyself. We pray, Lord, that you will draw us as your people closer to thee. And we pray, Father, now as we hear thy word, we pray, Lord, you help us to hear your word. Speak to us. We pray, Lord, we'll be taught much, not just in our minds, but in our hearts. May we know what we're hearing. May we know in our hearts, Lord, that love of God towards us as sinners. We pray, Father, that you will cause conviction and you will comfort and even rebuke, Lord. We pray, Father, that thou wilt draw near in a very real way. And we pray, Lord, to give help to preach your word. We pray, Father, that we will be enlightened by the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will draw alongside each one of us and comfort us and teach us the wonderful truths of the Scriptures. We pray all of these things in the Saviour's great and worthy name. Amen. So, we've continued on in our study of Mark's Gospel. Last week, now, we're up to the point where Christ is taken by the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the Jewish council, and he's brought before the Roman governor called Pilate. And you have to remember that a lot has happened this past night from where we started. We started in Gethsemane. Christ was in Gethsemane, in agony, praying to the Father. And in the same place, in Gethsemane, he saw the weakness of his disciples. And in the same place, he was hunted down while his disciples ran for their lives. He was hunted down by the chief priests and the scribes and the Roman soldiers. And then he was brought and he was stood before the Sanhedrin. And there he was, accused, left, right and centre. Remember, they had false accusations placed before him. He was brought before the Sanhedrin. False witnesses were brought before him. And he was accused of many, many different things. And he endured spitting. He endured being blindfolded, beaten, and even slapped in the face by one of the officers. And even though all night long, not finding any fault in Christ, they take him to the judgment hall of Pilate, hoping that he would be able to sentence Christ to death. Because remember, they couldn't sentence Christ to death because they would see that as unlawful, being Jews, and they couldn't do that through the Jewish council. So they brought him before the Roman government. And you know, in our world today, there's many people throughout society in the world today, and our governments, political parties, councils, and protesters. We've seen protesters the other week. And even the average citizen throughout society. People who will not take no for an answer. There's many people like that, isn't there? And they will not accept that many goals that they have for the future and laws they want passed are completely and utterly sinful. Even to think about such things. And whether it's trying to promote the sin of sodomy, or whether it's making up every excuse that they can as to why abortion should be accepted, or voicing out in general about how humans have rights, in particular the rights that humans should have to even end their own life, which is the line of euthanasia. And it's all based on the fact that they don't want to accept the teachings of the scriptures, and they do everything that they can in their power to hide away from the truths of the scriptures. And so as they try to promote all their views and their opinions, they will try to say why the word of God shouldn't be preached on public streets. They'll try to say all these things with the goal to silence the word of God. And in a similar sense, as we see how twisted men can be in their sin, in a similar sense, these Jews are doing what it takes, really, to have the desire and to have their desire and their dream fulfilled, which is to put an end to Christ. They were cutting around the corner, pushing what they want, really, in this passage, to see done, which is unlawful and sinful, all to put an end to the Lord Jesus. And as we pointed out different things there, even in our own society today, there about how nations today, really, they're anti-biblical. They're anti-biblical, the things that are pushed forward. And the word view is still today to voice down the name of Jesus Christ. That's still the word view today, to voice down the name of Jesus Christ. And they turn in the opposite direction, and what do? They reject the Son of God. They bring anything else into their lives to hide away from the biblical truth. And this is human nature. And while the ungodly won't admit this, we are still sinners. We have all fell short of the standard of God. We have all fell below His glory. And that standard that He has set, every person, because Adam, as our representative, failed, we have all fell in Adam. We mentioned that last week too. We have fell below the standard of God. We have sinned in Adam. And it is sin which makes us twisted. It is sin which makes sinners pig-headed, if you like. And it is sin that causes pride in the attitudes of human beings. And it is sin which makes us stubborn. And many times we as sinners, we don't see an alternative to our way of thinking. And by nature, we know the familiar words of Scripture. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the desire and determination here, determination of these Jews to see this goal come to pass, is still on their minds. Their wicked scheme, even though they have been up all night, still goes on. They still persevere on to try and fulfill what they want to see done. And now they have Christ before the Roman governor Pilate. And they are like wild dogs, hoping that Christ will be pronounced guilty. They're drooling like wild dogs, hoping that their prey will be pronounced guilty. And so we're come now this evening, this afternoon, to Pilate trying Jesus. Pilate's trial of Jesus, really. And the first words, it's interesting, the first words that Pilate asks the Lord Jesus is found in verse 2. Pilate asked him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" That's the first question that Pilate seems to ask the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 23, in the verse 2, we get a picture as to why Pilate asked this direct question. Because in chapter 23, verse 2, we read, "They began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king.'" So this accusation is brought against Christ. It is something that Pilate, he can't ignore as a Roman governor. Try and put yourself in the situation. He can't ignore this. This is an accusation of Christ forbidding to pay tribute to Caesar. So he can't let this go. Even though he might think that Christ is innocent, he still has to challenge Christ, or else he'll be liable to charges himself of passing over a man accused of rivalry and revolution against Caesar. So after asking this question then, Jesus says in verse 2, Mark 15 verse 2, "He answering said unto him, 'Thou sayest it, thou sayest it.'" We see a fuller discussion between Pilate and Christ in John's Gospel, John chapter 18. But just like when Jesus was asked this question by the high priest, remember Caiaphas asked a similar question about him being the king of the Jews. This question is really the only question that Christ answers as he is on trial. It is a question which he can respond to, giving his testimony, which is important and necessary. But notice, first of all, Pilate's amazement at Jesus. Because we read in verse 3 to 5, the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Here Christ, yes, he has responded again to the question of being king of the Jews, and he has responded to that, and he has told them the truth, "Thou sayest it." But here Christ was in the middle of the court, he's being questioned by Pilate about false accusations which he is being told of by the Jews, and Christ does not respond. But we see here that Christ keeps silent. Just like he did before Caiaphas, whenever the other false witnesses were brought before him, he keeps silent. You see, if Christ successfully defended himself, which he could have, his purpose for which he came into the world would be frustrated, and it wouldn't have fulfilled prophecy. Remember the familiar prophecy of Isaiah 53 verse 7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. But Pilate here, as he hears these ridiculous accusations being brought in from the Jews and questions Christ about them, he seems baffled at how Jesus doesn't defend himself. Matthew chapter 27, verse 14, it gives a little bit on a similar line as verse 5 in Mark 15, verse 5. It says, "He answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly." It says there that he marveled greatly. Pilate, basically, the sense of the words there, Pilate wondered exceedingly. He was more or less surprised. He was surprised. And he was probably more baffled that Christ took these accusations so meekly. And I'm sure Pilate, just think of Pilate. He was a Roman governor. He would have had many people coming before him to be tried, to be put on trial. And I'm sure Pilate had many criminals in the judgment hall who, when they were accused, they would have reeled back in defence to defend themselves as not guilty. And most likely, there could have been a full-scale row between the jury and the accused person who was accused. But on this occasion, this is something Pilate perhaps is unfamiliar with. Here he has Christ before him, and he's amazed that Christ, he doesn't defend himself. And perhaps with the non-response of Christ, he knew himself that Christ wasn't guilty. Could that be a possibility? But yet, he was amazed at how he didn't even attempt to explain these arguments set before him. We see here, really, I believe, from the Word of God, we see that Pilate must have, as he was looking at Christ, he saw the meekness of Christ. And he saw how Christ was temperate. He had self-control over himself. And he saw the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we can get a wrong view of meekness. We can see somebody being, sometimes we get a view in our mind, somebody being meek as some old man or woman who stooped over and doesn't look about or doesn't say too much. But we need to realize meekness is neither meanness nor surrender of what we believe as the truth. It is rather the opposite of sudden anger, of malice, of long-harbored hatred. Here's an example of Christ's meekness when he was struck in the face by the officer. Remember, we pointed that out. In another gospel, in the other one of the gospels, it says, after Christ was slapped in the face by one of those officers, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" So you see the meekness that there is there in Christ. And we can see there that Christ, also he was self-controlled, he was temperate. He still stands for the truth. But he doesn't act out in violence. And it is the same as he stands before Pilate. He's humble. And I wonder if Pilate was amazed at Christ, seeing his humility, bearing shame and iniquity against him, not reacting out in violence. I wonder, as believers, I wonder, do the ungodly be amazed at us as believers? You know what David said in Psalm 71? Psalm 71, verse 7. He said, "I am as a wonder unto men." Think about those words. "I am as a wonder unto many." We know that David, he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in the scriptures, and some of the things that we see in his life. David, he was from a low estate. He was ruddy. He was small. He was a small lad growing up. He was accomplished much in his life. He accomplished much. He killed the lion and the bear. He conquered the Philistine. He escaped the fury of Saul. He was raised to the throne of Israel as king. You see the different types of the Lord Jesus there, with him being the shepherd. He was a shepherd of the sheep. And he had a love for the sheep. He had the shepherd's heart. And then he came to be the king of Israel. And likewise, you can put that in the comparison with Christ being the king. But many things are through the life of David. Through his testimony, you can see how it shows the wonder of God's providence over his life. The wonder of God's providence over his life. Those who looked upon David, while he did make many mistakes, he did sin, He committed a terrible sin. He did many stupid things. But on the whole, those who looked at David must have wondered greatly. So I wonder, do the ungodly see the character of Christ in us as believers? Are they amazed by our conduct and our manner? Do our testimonies show the wonder of God's power and grace? Remember the lame man that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Remember in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John went to the temple of Jerusalem, he passed them and he asked for alms. And they raised him up from his ankles. And people came, the multitude came, and they were greatly wondering. They wondered greatly at what had happened. They saw a difference. So I wonder, as we are witnesses for Christ, our lives ought to cause the ungodly to wonder, to look upon us and see our Saviour. I wonder, do they see the example of Christ? And that's a challenge to us as believers. We ought to be careful in our conduct and our manner. Do our lives make the ungodly stop and think about God? It's a challenge. Pilate saw Christ and he marvelled. What about Pilate's annual offer? Pilate offered something annually. This was the time of the Jewish feast, remember? The feast of the Passover for the Jews. And as a celebration every year, seems to be that Pilate released a prisoner of whoever the people wanted released. Look at verse 6. Now at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And this could have been to commemorate how the Jews were released, how they were set free and delivered out of Egypt. And this could be a fitting occasion in Pilate's mind where Christ could be released. But in Pilate's mind, he knew that the chief priests had delivered Christ for envy. Keep that in mind. Look at verse 10. For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. So he knew himself, it appears to be that Pilate knew himself that Christ was innocent. And perhaps he sees that this is an opportunity to encourage people to vote for Christ to be released. But, you see in verse 7, we read there was one named Barabbas. In Matthew 27, verse 16, he's called a notable prisoner, a notorious prisoner. And notorious is one who's someone famous, outstanding, well known, and in the sense of, in regards to what they do. And Barabbas was famous, outstanding, or well known in regards to what he had done. What did he do? Well, he was a murderer, he was a villain, he was a killer, he was a destroyer, and he was corrupt. But anyhow, we see the multitude were expecting Pilate to do the same. Look at verse 8. The multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he has ever done unto them. And so Pilate then proceeds to put the question out there in verse 9. Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" So he puts the question out to asking them, "Will I release unto you this man Jesus, the king of the Jews?" Pilate, at the moment, he seems to be doing the right thing, don't you think? In some ways. But standing back, you would say he is doing what he can to have Jesus released, because he knows he's innocent. But with this offer for Christ to be free, how long could he really hold out with this approach that he's trying to do here? You see, it all backfires the moment we read in verse 11. The chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas. The chief priests are still doing their dirty work, if you like. They're forcing a conviction to be declared on Christ by trying to get a majority vote throughout the crowd. They're stirring the people up. And remember, these chief priests, they would have been respected well by many of the Jews there, because they were high up in the synagogue and they were seen as loyal men holding fast the law of God that they thought they were upholding. So So the crowd would respect them in some degree and do whatever they would say. You know, much of the world are easily persuaded to go along with particular decisions, aren't they? We pointed that out earlier. Especially if it goes in the opposite direction from the principles of the scriptures. And the ungodly get their eyes fixed on maybe one person or one representative or another group of people, and they just follow the leader, no matter what. I remember there was an advert when I was a little bit younger, growing up through my teenage years. It was a Ribena advert. And there was this army guy who walked across the screen on the TV, and a few young people following behind him, and they just said and did and thought everything that he did, and they followed the leader. Everything that he said, they said. And that's the way it is in society. If people see a group of particular people, just follow after them. Just run with the crowd. And that's what we call really peer pressure today. And many, many people are pressured into going along with a majority view. And while it's not recorded here in this gospel, but it's recorded in Matthew chapter 27, these people, they all cry out for Barabbas to be freed. We read in Matthew 27, verse 21, that they cried out for Barabbas to be free. What does Pilate do now? What does he do? How does he deal with the opposition against Christ, who he, in his own mind, sees clearly that Christ is guilty, is innocent? But he makes two more final attempts. Look at verse 12. Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" Well, they cried out again, "Crucify him." He makes another attempt. Then Pilate said unto him, "Why, what evil hath he done?" But they said then, and they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." Why, Pilate was perhaps baffled in his mind and not understanding how these people could possibly see that Christ was guilty. They were bringing false accusations before them. He still gave the decision over to the crowd. And that's very important to point out with Pilate. He still gave the decision over to the crowd. He still asked in verse 12. He still asked, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" He asked them. We see the crowd wants Barabbas free in Matthew 27. They pointed out that, it's pointed out there in Matthew 27, that they wanted Barabbas to be free. And here we see very clearly that they want Christ to be crucified. You know, the offer is offered to you today. And you can accept Christ, or you can reject him. You can praise him, or you can condemn him. You can serve Christ, or you can serve the rest of the world and the devil. The one thing you cannot do is do both. Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters." What's your response to Jesus Christ? Will it be the same as many of these legalistic Jews who were stubborn, who were focused more on their external traditions and their own agendas, and yet you're not able to see your own sin within your life, within your heart? Are you like these Jews who thought they were upright, perfect, but yet they were condemning the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the innocent one, and yet you can't see past your pride? You can't see that before the law of God you are the one that's guilty, but yet you condemn Christ. How do you stand with the Lord today? These Jews were throwing away the one who perfected the law, the one who they longed for to fulfill all the types and shadows of the Old Testament. They had the Messiah before their eyes, but they wouldn't believe he was the God-man. He wouldn't believe that God was manifested in the flesh. Think about Pilate's downfall. We thought about his offer there. What about Pilate, how he fell? Pilate's downfall. While Pilate understood Christ was innocent, I believe we see that very clearly in the scriptures, and made that clear to the rising rebellion. He did make that clear, that he was innocent. And while he did, to some degree, try to encourage the crowd to release Jesus, he still went alone with the opinion of the majority. Look at verse 15.
And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them.
He was willing, basically, to do enough for them, to do his best to quieten the crowd down. But he wasn't willing to do what was right, was he? He wasn't willing to release Christ of his own authority and do what he believed was the right thing to do. And instead, he was willing to content the people, to do what they want, to do what they wanted him to do, to go along with their desire, even though they were completely and utterly wrong and sinful about those accusations that they put before him. Christ, here he was. He was standing as the innocent Lamb of God. Pilate, knowing he was innocent, but yet he was willing to content the people. Pilate was willing to release a murderer called Barabbas and sentence Christ to death. Because the crowd was pressured into wanting Barabbas to be freed, Pilate was left standing on his own. How is that going to work? A crowd against one man. You might think, well, he's got all the authority. He can overrule the whole majority. But the pressure was on. Peer pressure, which we have in society, it can cause someone to do something positive, or it can cause somebody to do something negative. And peer pressure usually happens when a person is encouraged to do something or believe something, being influenced by a majority crowd. That's how peer pressure may work. Although a preacher once said in his message one time, sometimes we fold under peer pressure, not so much by what we do, but by the things we don't do. And while Pilate was willing to content the people, that's what he was willing to do, he wasn't willing to do what was right. He wasn't willing to stand firm to declare Christ guilty or innocent, because he was in fear of the people. He was in fear of the people. Someone can be pressured into doing something because they don't come right out and they don't say what they believe. They don't take a stand to declare that they won't go down a particular route or avenue. They don't say that they won't be influenced by the majority opinion that's out there, and they won't say why they won't do so. People get overrun by the crowd and they don't do anything to stop it influencing them. Perhaps that's you today. You've been overrun by the majority view. You've been overrun with peer pressure. The world view perhaps dominates you, and it decides for you what you believe, and you let it decide what you want, what you should believe. But you need to say, hang on a minute, I wonder, is this what I am to believe? It's common sense, really. Take a step back and realize, what am I doing with my life? Where am I going? What direction am I heading? What position am I in at the minute? What do I need to do in order to go forward? You need to answer this simple question. What are you doing with Christ? What are you doing with the Lord Jesus? Are you throwing him away to the crowd and just following along with their reaction or their rejection of him? Are you willing to content the friends that you have or the people you work with? Those people that are around you, by keeping Christ out of your life? If so, you're just like Pilate. You're just like Pilate. Pilate, being influenced by the crowd, tried to please them by scourging him. It says there in verse 15, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him. It's spaced out a little bit more in another one of the Gospels. It speaks how he scourged him, and that shows how he was trying to display some form of punishment to show that that was enough for him, and to make it look as if he was carrying out a big enough punishment upon the Lord by chastising him, if you like. But that's not what the people wanted. What they wanted was that Pilate, what they wanted was what Pilate did do, which was deliver Jesus. We read in verse 15, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. That's what the people wanted. And Pilate was willing to please them, to content them to do what they wanted. Pilate even, we don't read in this gospel, we read in Matthew's gospel 27, in verse 24. We see what Pilate actually did. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Pilate didn't see himself, whenever he did hand over Christ to the people, he didn't see himself as guilty. You know, if you die in your sin, you die lost, rejecting Christ. If you were to stand before the Lord and say, well, it's not my fault, everybody else told me to do otherwise. Other people influenced me and that's why I didn't accept you as Savior. How do you think that would sound before the Lord? You can be pressured by people in the world. There's an old saying, your friends can laugh you into hell, but they can never laugh you out. And Pilate, he was brought in with the crowd, and even though he tried to pass on the guilt upon them, he was as guilty. He joined the crowd. Think about it. Here Christ is standing before the world, if you like. His disciples have fled. And bar a handful of people, the whole world is against him at this moment in time. The whole world is against him. The innocent Christ was now proclaimed guilty. He was now being led to endure the sufferings of the cross. He was now going to be led away by the Roman soldiers to have many different things done to him, but to endure the sins of his people. He was making his way now to endure the whole sufferings of the cross, to take upon him the sin of the world. His innocent blood was going to be shed. His blood was going to be shed so that he could cover all the sins of his people. All the iniquity, all the sin was laid upon him. That prophecy was fulfilled from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? Who shall declare his generation? Here he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. The world was against Christ. Who was going to declare his generation? There's a challenge for us to stand out from the crowd. There's a challenge for you, sinner, to stand out from the crowd. While the rest of the ungodly in the world go on and press on to fulfill what they want to see done. Their hopes, their dreams, their desires. Why don't you step out on the truth and follow the lively hope that is in Christ Jesus? Take your stand in a world that has no stand. Trust in Christ. Believe on him by faith, repenting of your sins, turning away and looking to the one who has bore the sins of many upon his own body on the tree.